Rockmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, are you having a very good day today?
I think so.
You're just, I caught you just as you were finishing a bite of your hamburger. I'm sorry. There.
Well, I can't afford hamburgers. I'm eating bologna and cheese.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, August 12th. Our guest today, Adelita Grijalva, president of the five-member Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, the area's largest school district. Dylan Smith is here. Dylan, how are you?
Great, great. Tom gave us a great setup there. I think it's time to cut through the bologna. Thanks, Tom.
There you go. And for those of you that don't know, Dylan Smith is editor, publisher, creator, money man behind TucsonSentinel.com.
You keep adding to that list.
I know I do. If you have a question or comment, Liveline number 790-2040. Let's get right into it with Adelita Grijalva. First of all, good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me back.
Probably no one's mind is going to change on your response to this first question about teachers and whether they're getting the fair shake with Proposition 123 money. Your critics say that the teachers should have gotten all of the 123 money. Let me put it to you then this way. Our teachers, was this portrayed when people were told, let's please vote for this? Do you think there was like a truth in advertising here, kind of, there was the ball was dropped?
Right. Well, I think that Dr. Sanchez was given direction to put the item on the agenda because the concern that we had at the time was that 123 wasn't going to pass. And we were very worried because there is a teacher shortage all over Arizona and Tucson. I wanted to make sure that employees knew that they were going to have an increase, and teachers specifically, that whether 123 passed or not, there was going to be an increase. And so with all of the negotiating teams, TEA, AFSCME, CWA, and ELI, all of our employee groups, they made contingency language and agreements based on, if 123 passes, this is what we're going to do. And so those agreements went through. All of the employee groups were supported. And if you look at the percentage of the increase, it was fairly significant in Tucson Unified. And I believe we're the only, especially in Southern Arizona, the only district to give raises regardless of whether 123 passed or not. So, you know, we made some concessions and sort of sacrifices when we put forward those proposals for raises in capital expenses and the other things that we had concerns about in the budget. But when we looked at the legislature and the amount of money that we were going to be cut in capital, those are all needs that are going to happen. And we've seen the need in our schools. Our average building is about 50 years old. So, you know, when the big monsoon hit, all of our HVAC units were turned off because of those automatic electrical switches. And we had to physically go turn them back on. And some of them, older HVAC units, didn't want to turn back on.
Yeah, because we had a Facebook friend who wanted me to ask you about some of the schools didn't have air conditioning at the start of school. And they thought that was really, I think it went on for a few days the way
it was portrayed. And it's not acceptable. And, you know, in my child's school, they had a little issue too. But I think that when you're looking at older HVAC units, you can't just go to Home Depot and pick up a part. Those are things that have to be, some of them have to be made. And so the issue, there was one school that I think had AC out longer than some of the others, and that was Saguaro. That school, all of those parts were ordered and were coming in. And so we can't really replace, you know, equipment until we get it in.
All right, Dylan, jump in.
Well, first, I should note for all our listeners out there in Radio Land that my wife is a former TUSD teacher, just so that people are aware of that. Okay. So, you know, I have a few of my own personal opinions about how teachers get treated, especially based off her experience, but I'll try and be nice.
Well, thank you for your wife's education service, let's put it that way.
Okay. No, she did a great job and really enjoyed being a teacher in her work with the kids. She still has some of her former students coming up to her years later, you know, thanking her.
Life changers.
A quick follow-up on the AC issue. Mm-hmm. Why not just start maintaining that stuff, you know, getting it fixed up a little bit earlier during the summer so that when the first day of school rolls around, it's actually working?
Right. My understanding is that they all were working. They were all functional from what I, there were different schools that had like a room or two that weren't working because of like the split HVAC. And I asked a lot of questions about it because it's something that happens periodically. But when we had that really big storm, I want to say 2 or 3 days before school, what we learned is that we have to set up those electrical switches that will turn off the current to our, to all of our HVAC units. And we have a group of about 8 people that are our HVAC team. And then we have journeymen that help with the HVAC. And then, so we had to physically go out and turn them all on. And when you did that, some of them didn't turn on. So I, my understanding is that they were all working and functional. We were working throughout the summer, but, you know, when you have cuts in like $120 million in capital, that's going to be hard. It's hard for any system to absorb those costs. And but they were all functioning. My understanding is they were all functioning before the beginning of school, before that storm hit.
Well, speaking of capital, what is the biggest capital need right now? Where are you? Where is the district hurting?
In? Right this second, I can say HVACs, I think. But you can also look at roof, ceiling. I mean, a lot of the deferred maintenance, like maintenance programs, those are things that we could have prevented, but you can only do so much. I mean, once an HVAC system gets to a certain age or a roof gets to a certain age, you can only patch it so much. Yeah. And really, the funds that we have right now are just for patching. And we did talk about, entertain the idea of going out for a bond, but until you have a board that is unanimous in support of it, there's no point in doing that. And so it didn't seem like there was we were going to have that kind of support. And there was a timing issue with 1-2-3. So the district opted to put it off, but the need is absolutely there.
The story that got most of the publicity out of your meeting, probably the kind of the banner piece, was David Morales, the creator of the blog site Three Sonorans, being escorted by police out of the board meeting. He had asked to speak in the call to audience, but it is board policy at this point that you give your name and your residence, right?
Well, the requirement is that you fill out the call to the audience card and you have your name, the topic, affiliation, and address on the call to the audience card. And so there were 4 speakers. And also, just to do a little bit of backtrack, I posted some information on another site and Mr. Morales responded to me, and that was on July 18th, where I explained, this is the policy, this is the board policy. So while our legal counsel at the time said we don't require, the state law does not require address, that's true, but our board policy still did. And so we have, that item is actually going to come up at our next board meeting to decide whether we still want to do that. But until we change that, that is our board policy, and I have to abide by it. Otherwise, I'm assuming that I would get reported to the AG about violating board policy. So
why was he escorted out?
Really, the biggest issue was at the beginning of the call to the audience, I explained, and I also said, and if you didn't provide your address information, I'm going to go ahead and ask for that. He came up, and I said, I need you to provide your address information, knowing that we'd already had an exchange 2 weeks prior. He said he gave the address of 1010 East 10th, which is the TUSD administrative offices. So I'm pretty sure we would notice if there was a cot or something in there. So I said, I know that that's not your address. He refused to give an address. And I said, okay, then I'm going to go ahead and close the call to the audience and ask you to have a seat. And he refused to sit down and kept talking over me. So I had the mics turned off. And actually, it's school safety. School safety is present all the time. So we didn't have any TPD officers there. School safety escorted him out.
How long has that policy been in place, and what purpose does it serve to require people to give an address?
Right. Well, it was based on state law. When the state law changed, we just haven't revised our policies. But the way it's come up in the past is if media wants to speak to someone who has left information, you have to ask an open meetings. You have to request the information. We have principals that parents come up and say, I want to be able to give them a call. You call them. Or we've had board members that actually reach out to people. I mean, at different times in the 14 years that I've been here, we've had board members ask for the cards. I pass them down. They write down the information. So, you know, we could probably get away with asking for an email address or something different if that individual wants to be contacted. And so at our next board meeting, before the call to the audience, the board's going to consider it. And so if the board majority does not want, a majority of the board doesn't want to ask for address information anymore, then we won't require
or, it. Or perhaps ask for it but not require it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in, my understanding is you have different boards that are doing it a little bit differently throughout the state. You have Sunnyside who doesn't require it, but then you have other school districts who do, city and county, same thing.
So our listeners know, state law requires that people who speak at a call to the audience in a government meeting to give their name for the purposes of the minutes. That is a legal requirement. You can't get up and do it anonymously.
Got a lot of folks who want to talk to you.
Okay.
Tom, time-wise, and I've got to manage this, let's get Jim in. I think it's our friend Jim Kelly. Then we will take the break, and then we'll come back to the callers. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Hi. Two things very, very quickly. One, I actually understand requiring an address because you want to give preference to people to speak to the board who actually live in the district. But my question, Alida, is will the board consider decentralizing the authorities to the principal of the school when it comes to capital improvements and maintenance, as opposed to having to go through some monolithic request system through 1010? Why can't you just give these people a budget and say, you're in charge of your capital improvements? And if it's not getting done, then you could fire the principal for the next school year.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kelly. So just so you know, just to clarify, we do have, I've never given preference to anyone. I mean, we basically take the call to the audience. It doesn't matter whether they live in the district or not, but sometimes it is helpful to know whether the person that is speaking to you actually has a child in the district or lives in Marana or Vail or somewhere else. I mean, we're all one community. I understand that, but it's sometimes good to have that information. But regarding the capital improvements, our principals have a lot of expertise, and we don't expect them to know procurement law, requirements to get out bids. I mean, that's a requirement of the district. And so while we have some issues that are going on in our district, I'm not expecting our principals to get up on the roof and to start, collecting bids. And that's not something legally that they can do. That's a responsibility of the district.
All right, 12:16 on our Friday Focus interview with Adelita Grijalva. Michael Ronstadt, the younger brother of singer Linda Ronstadt, died this week. Very sad. He's a prominent musician here in town, performing with his sons. The group was the Ronstadt Generations Band. We're going to dedicate our Friday bumper music to Mr. Ronstadt right now.
Close-minded people certainly aren't shy, 'cause when they speak it's usually a lie. But I'm taking each low blow in stride, standing stronger when they fight, giving strength to men with bright futures in their eyes.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Of the Ronstadt Generations, our bumper music today, honoring the Ronstadt, Michael J. Ronstadt, the younger brother of singer Linda Ronstadt, who died Sunday. He was 62 years old. And Tom, that, where did you get that? That's from one of the folk festivals?
Yeah, it was here in Tucson.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And as I understand it, Michael plays the cello like a bass.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It looks like a cello to me anyway. It's too small to be a bass that he's got in his hands.
Yeah.
And he doesn't bow it. He strums it with his fingers, and sometimes he plays it like a guitar.
Wow. Anyway, it's a big loss. Adelita Grijalva is our Friday Focus Roundtable guest today, and Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. One of our callers, Zach, wondered, did you ever take care of your campaign finance report?
Yes, I did, Zach. Thanks for checking. We're all set.
Sorry, everybody's on the same page.
All right,
let's go back to the live line. Beth is with us. Beth, what's on your mind?
Hello. First, I would just like to take a moment and thank Adelita and the board majority for their unflinching support for educators in TUSD and for making sure that we've gotten raises for the past 3 years.
Thank you.
So I really want to thank you for that support. And I also would like for you to talk a little bit about the role the new community centers play in TUSD and in our communities, the community centers at Wakefield, Duffy, and Palo Verde.
Oh, the family engagement centers?
Yes.
Yeah, those
are
actually...
Can you talk a little bit about those?
Oh, sure. I actually had an opportunity to tour the one at Wakefield and the one at Palo Verde, and really they're amazing facilities where we have computer labs and resources for families, clothing banks. So we have four regional centers, and then we have the big one at Duffy. But they just have so many services there, classes for teachers, for resources for parents, English as a second language classes. I mean, so they really are trying to do, we really are trying to utilize as much space as we can to provide services to families. And I know Palo Verde at one time was much more under-enrolled, so that was one of the reasons why that school was selected. Wakefield was closed, so that's the reason that was selected.
Getting back to the as we talked about in the first segment, the call to the audience, would you be, the board is going to entertain this before the next call to the audience.
Right, so we anticipate that there's going to be.
Would you be open
to
changing it?
Yes, I do think that there is some value in collecting information from people, and if they want to voluntarily share that, and that's my opinion at this point. We haven't had a discussion about it, but I did have reservations, which is why I didn't ask students to write down, to verbally speak their address. I mean, I understand the concerns, and so, and I'm a mom of three, so I wouldn't want my baby coming up and having to tell her address. So I understand all that. And I would totally entertain the item, and it's going to be coming up before the next call to the audience at our next meeting.
Okay, Roberta has been waiting. Tom, are we ready now with Roberta? Go ahead, Roberta.
Hello, this is Ingrid.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ingrid. My screen showed Roberta.
Ingrid?
I guess it was just a little slip-up. Ma'am, I'd like to ask, before I ask the question, I think that a person's address can be written on the card that's submitted in advance, and
yes,
no one in the audience need to have that information.
Well, no, and that's why the four previous speakers before Mr. Morales didn't say their address, because they did put it on the card, and that's actually all we're asking for.
Roberta actually had, is she still there, Tom? Okay, Roberta, if you call back, we'll get your question on. It was about school construction and repair of quality control. So if you want to call back, we'll get you on. Let's go to Chuck. Has a question about Palo Verde. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, I was just wondering, is the board addressing the terrible disciplinary problem they're having at Palo Verde, and I believe it's Booth Thicket? I'll take your answer off the phone.
Okay, thank you. So one of the concerns and frustrations that I had is that right before the beginning of the school year, we had a story that was recirculated from last year. So 9/15 and 9/16 of last year, there was a fight at Palo Verde. And I actually was there on the first day of school when Mr. Brock and Mr. Amadon were talking to the students, and everything was very calm. I spoke to teachers, and people came to the call to the audience expressing the fact that they've never been afraid. And so we do have there, it is a transition, and there'll still be more transitions with the changes to our discipline policy. But again, that is a collaboration with the courts. It is a court order to change our discipline practices. And so that's not something that is going to change if, you know, there's some kind of people talking about, well, if we change the board majority, we change the superintendent, our discipline will get better and it will get easier. Well, it's a court order, so really the board and the superintendent, when it's a court order, it doesn't matter who those people are.
Because, Dylan, some police officers have, or school resource officers, mm-hmm, have voiced concern for their own safety.
Some
are. Well, you know, My wife, having been a teacher at Cholla High School, mm-hmm, for a number of years, you know, certainly witnessed some incidents. She never said that she was afraid of anything.
Right.
And, you know, it's not like teachers walk around armed like school resource officers.
No.
So what are these people afraid of, actually? I mean, that... I can see maybe, you know, and for 15 seconds of jumping in the middle of a fight, certainly that's a concerning situation, but I don't think really people are walking around trembling all the time. There's a little bit of rhetoric involved in that.
Yeah.
I will say that, you know, from my wife's experience and, you know, her colleagues, there is definitely pressure for teachers to not enforce discipline because they get terrible reviews if they do. If you're a teacher and you send kids out of class on a consistent basis because, mm-hmm, they're not behaving themselves, that reflects poorly on you as a teacher,
right,
even though you are creating a better environment by removing one or two, mm-hmm, troublesome kids,
right,
for everybody else who's in the room so those kids, yeah, can actually learn. And that's, you know, it's really a conundrum for trying to, you know, maintain a classroom where kids can learn if somebody's acting up and you are basically told that you're not supposed to get rid of those kids.
Well, and one of the other things is I run a juvenile diversion program and have been doing it for 20 years. And these are young people that have been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And you do, there are certain people that should not be working with young people. And we've, you know, had volunteers that maybe thought it would be a great idea to give back, and then they come. And so if you're afraid at your campus and you're someone that is not a teacher, I mean, I haven't heard from one teacher at Palo Verde who said they've been afraid, not from Booth Fickett either. So when you hear an officer say that, my thought is perhaps that wasn't the best staffing decision and maybe we need to make some changes.
All right, we have three, let's see, we've got three callers and 1 minute. So let's see. I'm going to take Ingrid, you're first, because I didn't get a chance to get to your question, so please go ahead.
Quickly, regarding the repairs and renovations of buildings in TUSD, who has oversight over the labor and materials, and are there any warranties and guarantees for the work? Are there private companies involved? I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a procurement procurement question, and Stuart Duncan is our chief in charge of facilities, and so he would be the one. But yes, we do have some warranties and guarantees, but again, that would be under that department.
You would hope that if they're buying new products, they will be warranted.
Well, and you have to remember that by procurement law, usually we're taking the lowest bid, and
right. So
I mean that's legally something that we need to be doing. So it causes some issues sometimes.
Okay. Patrick is next. Let's see if we can work you in real quickly. Patrick, go ahead.
Yes, my question pertains to Superintendent H.T. Sanchez's salary, which is higher than our county administrator, higher than our governor. He actually gets paid more than our president. Do you, Board Member Grijalva, still support paying H.T. Sanchez so much? I'll take my question off the air.
Sure. Well, actually, he makes $270,000. So Mr. Huckleberry is at about $300,000. The U of A and Pima County Chancellor make more with fewer students. Pima has the chancellor's $290,000, and U of A is over $600,000. And so I'm not sure where the number is coming from. It may be including the 3-year incentive that we offer to Dr. Sanchez should he stay. But he hasn't. That hasn't become part of any money that has been exchanged between the district and Dr. Sanchez to this point.
All right. Dan, you will be our last call of this Friday, at least for this portion of the show. Dan, go ahead.
Hi. Actually, ironically, I'm a teacher here at Palo Verde High School, and I think that the media is kind of exaggerating the situations. But my comment was I wanted to thank Ms. Grijalva for voting consistently for the last 3 times for our raises, whereas Dr. Stegman has only voted for the latest one. He voted no for our raises last year and the year before that. So I just wanted to kind of quickly throw that out there.
Thank you. And also, you know, there was a board majority a few years ago that imposed a lot of language on our employee groups. And so we've had a lot of bus drivers and custodians and groundskeeper people come up to us and to the board and say, you know, we really need to address our wages. And I don't disagree, but longevity and their amazing health plan, that was all imposed upon and taken away from that group. So.
All right. Adelita Grijalva, thank you very much for being on the program.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Dylan Smith will stick around. Jim Nintzel is going to join us telephonically for our Friday roundtable. That's coming up after our mid-show bumper music today, honoring the music of Michael J. Ronstadt, younger brother of singer Linda Ronstadt and prominent musician with the Ronstadt Generations Band.
I'll leave behind for the quiet of that valley, in bathing sweet sunshine, the valley of my people and the ones who came before. When the river ran so deeply, we could ride her to the shore.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau, plus the Monday political face-off with commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We have worldwide live listening, podcasts, and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Well, Bill, I've got to hand it to Charles. He's correct. I'm not familiar with the Ronstadt Generations band, and it turns out that it is the younger Ronstadt, probably Michael's son, I've been referring to as the guy that's been playing the cello.
Okay.
Michael is, let me go back one page here. What did I do, lose them all together? Oh.
Well,
Michael is the gentleman with the graying hair and the beard playing the guitar.
Right.
And his son is playing the cello. This time he's bowing it.
Yes.
And he is introducing the song.
Okay. The song is called Prelude to a High Life, and I wrote it in 2007.
It may be that it's Michael and his two sons.
Yeah, it is. It's together.
Yeah.
Together they make up the Ronstadt generation, who we are honoring, Michael J. Ronstadt, who passed away this week. We're honoring him with his music on our mid-show bumper break. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, want to thank you. This is our media partner shout-out time. Thanks to the TucsonSentinel.com, one of our fine media partners, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, Emil Franzi's organization, and the Three Sonorans, all supporting the Buckmaster Show. Jim Nintzel on the live line with us, speaking telephonically from his work at the Tucson Citizen, where he is senior editor. Mr. Nintzel, I thought maybe you were still in Hawaii. I guess your mind is still over there.
Aloha to your listeners.
How you doing?
I am I'm a million gallons of aloha.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, is this David Gowan dropping out going to help Gary Keeney in the Republican race for CD1? Or Sheriff Babu has a pretty comfortable margin over there, doesn't he, in that race?
From the polling we've seen, he does. I don't know how accurate that polling is, but there's definitely more Republican votes in the southern end of that district than there are up in the northern end where Gary Keeney hails from. So I think Sheriff Paul Babu comes in with a built-in advantage in that primary, and I don't know if the 1,000 or 2,000 people who are going to vote for David Gowan will make a difference jumping over to Gary Keeney, or even if they'll follow David's advice in jumping over to Gary Keeney. But I think probably Keeney is the closest challenger in that race, and he came real close last time out, and I think he learned a few things from that campaign. So it's competitive, I think, but I would give the edge to Babu at this point.
The sheriff certainly has the name recognition from years and years of cable TV news appearances, and I don't think a lot of the negative stories about Babu have really percolated up to the consciousness of those who are voting in that election, despite some of the other candidates really trying to hit those stories about an allegedly very abusive boarding school that he was in charge of and things like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. If those stories are going to stick, it really has to be the other candidates making that point, being amplifying those stories that were in the media, and Wendy Rogers has certainly done her share of trying to amplify those stories, but I don't know that it's been enough.
Jim Nintzel and Dylan Smith with us here on our Friday roundtable. Dylan, what did you think of Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller doing quite a large, to put it mildly, paper request of the Pima County government?
Over the past month, Allie Miller's asked for what amounts to tens of thousands, maybe even in the end hundreds of thousands of documents from each of the other supervisors, members of their staffs, from members of the Pima County administrative staff, and made pretty broad blanket requests for months, and I think in some cases even more than a year of emails looking for certain keywords, interactions, and some pretty common keywords, asking for emails with words like huckleberry in them, which would, if you work for the county, that's probably every other email, if not every single one.
Jim Nintzel.
I think Dylan really started all this.
It is my fault. There is no conspiracy involved here, and it's all me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think, obviously, when Dylan was making his requests, they were requests to try to get to the bottom of what was going on with this staffer who had started this bogus news site and denied it, and it became very clear in the ensuing weeks that, indeed, he was behind this whole thing, as I think many of us suspected pretty much from the get-go, thanks to the work that Dylan started uncovering right from the start on that one. So Allie is clearly trying to go on a major fishing expedition here, trying to find something damning in the emails of Chuck Huckleberry and her fellow supervisors to muddy the waters in the embarrassing situation which she's found herself. But Allie has continued to, as far as I know, at last check, deny that she's used her personal email for official communications with her staff, and it's become very clear, again, thanks to the emails that Dylan has uncovered, that she absolutely did it as a matter of policy in her office and insisted that they do that because she was so afraid that she was being bugged and that her every word was being followed by Chuck Huckleberry, which is, I think, one of the elements of paranoia we've seen in the District 1 supervisor.
One of her former staffers, actually the former staffer who sort of kicked off this whole investigation, told us that Miller cautioned him that he needed to whisper while he was at work in the office because there were listening devices in the walls.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing you normally find in people are suffering from some pretty serious cocaine psychosis. Not that I'm saying that's going on in this particular office. I don't want to say that, but it just seems a little bit crazy.
And you are not saying that, correct?
No.
Yes.
No, okay, I'm just not saying that.
All right.
I'm saying behavior similar to. Let me make that perfectly clear.
Any change in the races going on that we should know about, Jim? You follow quite a bit of polling. Has there been any kind of polling that looks very interesting as far as Arizona perhaps going certainly as a toss-up state, but maybe being in play for the Clinton people?
Yeah, that's certainly being bandied about. The Clinton people are definitely making more of an investment in Arizona because they see it as a possible unexpected state to grab in the presidential election, simply because Donald Trump continues to make these outrageous comments on the campaign trail, gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. So, I don't know about polling, and it's still so early to really depend on it. I haven't seen much primary polling in our local races, but I'm very curious to see how this county attorney's race is going to go. Joel Fineman has made a real determined run against Barbara LaWall. It's the first time she's really faced an aggressive opponent in a primary since she was first elected 20 years ago, and she has ducked a lot of opportunities to debate Joel Fineman, and he has really pulled together some people who whose family members or themselves were victims of some aggressive prosecutions at the county attorney's office to weigh in on his behalf. So I see a lot of chatter in favor of Joel. I still think it's tough for a former public defender to get into the role of the top prosecutor, but I think that's certainly one to keep an eye out on election night.
Politics makes for some very strange bedfellows at times. You have Fineman really running to the left of LaWall, who's been a pretty consistent law and order Democrat. But Fineman's getting, at least, I don't know how hard they're working for him, but getting some serious Republican traction on social media to support him. Folks who, have long longed to get Barbara LaWall out of office, so they're supporting him anyway.
And then there's the Winchester-Miller race in that primary. The winner will, I don't think there is a Green Party candidate there in District 1, Pima County Supervisor.
There's a Democrat in the race.
Oh, what am I talking about? That's correct. Yes, I was thinking of F.N. Rodriguez, who was on the show this week, and I said, well, congratulations, you don't have an opponent. And she said, no, I've got a Green Party.
That is a District 1,
the
supervisor's race. It's a very Republican.
Very
Republican district.
Yeah.
So one would think that, the race will most likely be decided in the Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
You can't completely call it because, especially in this sort of election year, who knows what the heck is going to happen.
I know, and who knows? Jim, go ahead.
And you still have some questions about the fact the Attorney General is investigating the Supervisor Miller's refusal to even acknowledge that she has these public records created on her private email account, and we'll see if anything comes of that. But that could be very damaging if something were to occur before the general election.
And those things generally take some time for them to really dig into these sorts of cases, and the AG's office recognizes that they don't want to drop some sort of decision very, very close to an election date. So we'll see really how that plays out, how deeply they delve into the investigation, and her members of her staff falsely responding to public records requests by saying that they don't even exist when we have documented proof that they do.
Well, we'll see how much traction that for those that do not like Supervisor Miller, whether that will play into whether or not Winchester makes a good showing.
And ahead of the bringing it back to David Gallen, who we started this segment of with him dropping out of that race, we've also got the Attorney General investigating him over his use of a state car and getting reimbursed for the mileage of the state car and numerous other things that he was doing as House Speaker.
And that goes to show you just how long the timeline can be for some of these investigations.
Right. Yes, because they've been looking into this for several months, and from what I hear, they may be coming forward with something in that after the primary, so keep an eye open for that.
All right, Jim Nitzel, thank you very much, and Dylan Smith, thanks a lot for your work with us.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Now, the music of Michael J. Ronstadt.
Well, I want to thank Charles. This is my first introduction to the Ronstadt generation.
Okay.
I want to thank Charles for identifying everybody for me. Now, this song features Michael with his sons. It's the one son playing cello. He's bowing the cello right now. Mm-hmm. So the son plays guitar. Michael himself is playing guitar, and he's also the lead vocal on this. It's called The Mill of Oracle.
And the creatures, all of them, but the wind's sitting quiet, it's not saying a thing, and it's not even moving the mill. And the moon's gonna miss you tonight.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More, featuring Pella replacement windows. You already know how my design team can enhance any special event. Now imagine enhancing your home with new Pella energy efficient windows. Are your windows and doors old and worn out? Maybe your windows leak water when it rains. With those problems, why keep giving your money away to the utility company because your windows are inefficient? It's our free Pella Windows and Doors installation giveaway sale. Receive an estimate this month and we will install them for free. That's right, this month only, your purchase of new Pella products will be installed for free. Act today. Call this number and this number only, 520-886-1602, 886-1602. Don't let these savings pass you by. Call this number, 886-1602. That's 886-1602. For the free Pella installation sale by Enhance Openings. EnhanceOpenings.com.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, Alan Schultz from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you're sure to find a business you can trust. Whether you need a quote from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All right, time for Weekend Watch. We love to hear that music. It means the weekend is here with Matt Russell, our Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist and our host of Weekend Watch, brought to you and us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The recent rains have beautifully greened up that area of the Southwest United States, and great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins and Silver City KOA. You can find the full listing of the many places to stay in Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson, and the many things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome Matt Russell. Mr. Russell, how are you?
Dream as always, Bill. Thanks.
Yeah, are you ready for a little bit of a weekend cocktail? You know, they say it's time for cocktails somewhere in the world.
Exactly. You know, watching the Olympics in Rio this week, Bill, has sort of inspired me to seek out some creative ways that rum is being used around town. And I spotted a libation up at Blanco the other day, up at La Encantada, that would certainly fit the bill, no pun intended. It's the coconut horchata, made with cinnamon-infused coconut milk, a little honey, and some chai spice, all whipped together with some spiced rum. Now, Bill, you know that we typically associate Blanco with their impressive tequila selections, but I say this rum drink sounds like the perfect way to kick off another warm weekend here in the Old Pueblo. And would you look at that? Happy hour is right around the corner.
Always right around the corner somewhere. And it seems like every time we bring up the word bacon, somebody brings to the table some new concoction.
I'm all a quiver, Bill. You know, our good friends at the Tucson Originals are hosting the first annual Bacon, Blues, and Brews Fest tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Brother John's over there on Grant near Stone. Now, I hear this event is going to feature local restaurants showcasing their best bacon-inspired dishes, along with live blues music and a range of local brews that I'm told will pair beautifully with pork fat. You'll get the chance to cast your vote for the best and most creative use of bacon by these competing chefs. Tickets are $20, and you can get all the information at TucsonOriginals.com.
Pig roast time. Are we talking like a luau or what?
I'm telling you what, Bill. You know, this event is not technically happening this weekend, but I say that Monday is close enough to qualify because Pasco Kitchen and Lounge will be hosting an off-the-hook pig roast on Monday at 6 p.m., whole pigs are going to be on parade at Pasco, roasted by pitman Romero Scavo himself, and he's going to be pouring some exquisite mezcals and mezcal cocktails to enjoy right alongside them. I think a chorus of oinks will rock University Boulevard on Monday night for a pig roast of epic magnitude.
What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, there's a chef in town, Bill, who's been spending a lot of time in the garden lately, and he has a theory about the science of salsa that he wants you to know about. Could he be Southern Arizona's salsa scientist-in-chief? You can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
Thanks. You too, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Big shout-out to Christophon, who does the original theme music. You can find a link to Christophon and his website, Fine German Composer, at buckmastershow.com. Want to thank Doug and Mary Martin, our station owners, Ray Allen, who's with me Monday through Thursday, our operations manager and my engineer producer, and then Tom Fairbanks on Friday, Mr. Fairbanks engineering and producing the show, and of course Jerry Cross, our production guy, Ed Alexander, and really the whole team at KVOI, and executive assistant Rosemary Brandt keeping our podcasts very much in order. Great weekend talk, including all the stuff Charles Heller does weekend with all of his weekend programming on Sunday. On behalf of all of us, have a great weekend.